Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell here on WILK News Radio. 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You download that app from your local app store, download it, favorite WILK News Radio, and you can listen to us, you can rewind, go to the chapters, go back 3 days, and get our podcasts. It's a great little ditty there. Plays with your CarPlay, so you can get us anywhere. Nice crystal clear digital signal. It is 308, 78 degrees on this Friday, May 2nd, 2025. Yeah, that's right. It's Friday. Got to take a little pause before we start today. Today's my nephew Grayson's birthday. He's going to be 14, that big guy now. He's getting up there. He's going to be my height in the next 2 years, I think. But yeah, today was his 14th birthday. And give him a shout out for that. He lives up in the northeast area, a little north of us. And getting it done, doing great grades in school and doing everything that he does. He's one of the big gamer guy. You know, he plays his sports. And he's got the bumps and bruises and x-rays to prove it. But he's also into the gaming. He's got his YouTube channel. He's in the top percentage in the country as far as this gaming goes. And it's interesting because we were up there for his confirmation. We talked about it when I was out of town up in that area couple of weeks ago, and he showed me his system. And this guy's room looks like NASA. He's got one of them gaming computers. I have a top of the line Mac because I do my recordings and podcasts, and I do TV and stuff from there back in the day. But I'm all set up for my mini studio there. This guy's got that and then some. He's got one of them high end gaming computers that has the LED lights that spin around in it, and his chair, and his microphone, and his headsets, and everything's all set up. He's even got this little massage chair that my wife was eyeing up when she was there, because she's small, SM all, and was looking at it because she fits perfectly in it. But guy's got it going on, 14. What would I give to be that age again and start all over? Knowing what I know today, I would indeed. So, Grayson, happy birthday to you. Hope you enjoy your day and the weekend. And anyone else having a birthday today? We're going to get into some birthdays later on in the Today in History segment at the 4:46 hour. But how's everybody doing today? The weekend is hopefully yours, if not soon to be, if you're on that 5 o'clock whistle. And live life on your terms. Live life on your terms always. Don't let anybody push you around. Be who you are. Follow the rule. Know the rules and stick by them, and don't let them try and bend them against you. It's your turn for the weekend. And it's not going to be a bad weekend. It's there'll be a few showers here and there, but that's spring in the Northeast. So some things going on today. I had the story lined up for today, kind of relevant to a lot of people in this area. But then I see this story from the Times Tribune that just popped up that a newly introduced House Bill 1313 asks legislators one more time to support removing sex from birth certificates. Oh, what could possibly go wrong there, huh? So newly introduced House Bill 1313 asks legislators in Pennsylvania one more time to support removing sex from birth certificates. Well, maybe if they say pretty please this time. Maybe if they say, and listen, there's nothing you could say. I hate to prove it to you. I hate to break it to you. I hate to bring science into the conversation today, but there's two sexes. Two. Pick one. And that's that. And we've seen where they make these legislative changes on things like birth certificates and driver's licenses and college applications and these things that we go, okay, well, what's the big deal? I mean, put whatever you want on it. But then they use that and weaponize it, saying, well, how do we know? Like the sports bill, where you had members of Congress, AOC specifically, saying, well, what are they going to do? Physical checks? Are they going to have the school nurse actually have to look at this individual? Well, no, we wouldn't have to do that if their birth certificate said male or female, or their driver's license said male or female, or any other official document that we give you says male or female. No, that wouldn't even be a conversation piece, but they use that as a weaponization against this nonsense. And it's exactly what she said. How are they to know what sex someone is without checking? Well, we would be if you stop messing with things like birth certificates, like this Bill 1313 in Pennsylvania, where they're asking again, which means it was already rejected. But they'll keep trying until they get and hopefully they don't get a majority to get it passed, and then hopefully the other chamber stops it at its tracks there, and hopefully we have a governor with common sense and doesn't pander to the small percentage of people that are pushing this thing, because that's exactly who this affects. But yeah, we should all change it, and we should all take centuries of precedent with birth certificates and throw it out the window because, you know, people's feelings. So that just came up 50 minutes ago, and I had to mention that because it just shows, you know, we think we make some progress. We think we, are advancing the conversation in a more sensible manner. But nope, Pennsylvania Democrat legislature in the House reels you back in. So here, a little more closer to home. Well, that is closer to home. It's all of Pennsylvania. Landowners ask why Schuylkill County gave reassessment estimates, but Lackawanna hasn't. That's right. Schuylkill County, who is using a different company to do their reassessment process, but they're in about the same stage Lackawanna County is. And they did all the same things that Lackawanna County did. They did all the same notifications and processes, but when all was said and done, and they sent out what your new reassessment was and your new value was, they sent an estimate of what your new tax rate would be, what your new tax bill would be. An estimate, because they are still doing appeals in Schuylkill County, just like they're saying they're going to still do appeals in Lackawanna County, and that's going to adjust that estimate. And we all understand that. That's why it's called an estimate. Well, Lackawanna County, based on the comments from County Commissioner Bill Gaughan, is basically using their contractor as a shield to say, well, we don't want to give people an estimate because it's going to change. Well, why? This company that Schuylkill County is using for their reassessment said, we have all the information. Everything's pretty much on the table now. Yes, it will change a little bit due to reassessments. It could change a lot due to appeals. But since we have the information, let's inform the public the best we can to get through this process. Now, what do I suspect Lackawanna County is not doing it? Well, I think if they send us an estimate of what our taxes are going to be next year, they will get way more appeals than they are prepared to handle. I think they are already going to get way more appeals than they're prepared for. They said something about 7,000 out of 102,000. I think it's going to be triple, maybe five times that already. But the bottom line is Lackawanna County does not want to give you an estimate of what your taxes are going to be simply because they don't want to. They don't want you to have that information. They could give you that information. They have the information necessary to give it to us. They don't want to. And they're using their contractor as shielding, saying, well, you know, let me ask the contractor. Because that's what Bill Gaughan said. Our county commissioner said, well, let me ask the contractor why they won't send estimates out. Like it's their call. I'm sorry, but the taxpayers in the county footing the bill will tell them what to put out. And they just haven't. So at least be honest with your constituents, Commissioner Bill Gaughan, because if you told Tyler Technologies to send out an estimate on what we have currently now with a notation, with a clause in bold red print that says this is only an estimate and will change, they could do that. You just don't want to do it. For a couple of reasons. You don't want the blowback that it's going to cause because people will actually see around about where their tax is going, which direction. And I don't know why you're afraid of that because all along you've said one third are going to go up, one third are going to stay the same, one third is going to go down. And that is going to be the same or should be the same if that's the true basis for what's going to happen with an reassessment. That's going to be the same before appeals are in. And after the appeals are in, it's going to fluctuate a little bit. Numbers are going to go up and down, but it should stay the same. So why not send an estimate out of what your 2026 taxes are going to be? Well, it's plain and simple. You don't want to. So at least be honest. Look people in the eye. Look the voters in the eye that you're already screwed with a 33% tax increase and say, no, we don't want you to have that. Why? Oh, because it's going to cause more reassessments. It's going to bog down the system. It's going to cost the county, and it will cost the county more for more assessments. They're paying these county reassessment appeals boards a good penny, and they're hiring temporary workers to do even more of them. But at least be honest, because we see a sister county, Schuylkill County, which is doing the same exact thing in the same stage of their process, but using a different company, and they were able to do it. So don't tell us you can't do it. Don't say it. You don't have the information to do it. You sure as hell do. You don't want to because you don't want people to see the true value of it. And again, it shouldn't change. If you're telling people for years now, one-third's going to go up, one-third's going to stay the same, one-third's going to go down. That's how the reassessment process is going to work. We're just bringing it up to today's times. Okay. Well, then that should be the same now with just estimates and after when everything's said and done. So why not give us the medicine now and let us see what's happening? And it's plain and simple. You don't want to. You don't want to. And there was a really good article out that I shared on my social media from WVIA that dove into this a lot more and got the same statements from Commissioner Bill Gaughan. They got statements from Commissioner Chris Chermak. And Bill Gaughan was like, well, let me ask the question why we can't send that out, trying to put the blame on Tyler Technologies, who is our contractor. We are paying them to do a job. And if the directions from the county commissioners was send out estimates right now, or send out estimates with that letter that we got a couple of weeks ago, they would have done it. They do not dictate, our contractor does not dictate that we don't send information that they know they have out. County leadership dictates that. And the only reason that that information is not in our hands right now is plain and simple. They don't want us to have it. So go to meetings. If you see them in the street, demand those estimates. Demand the, politely, respectfully, demand those estimates. Because Schuylkill County is doing it. Other counties have provided comparison values of homes around you that you were compared to. We're not doing that either. You have to do that homework on your own. So why are other counties working so much more efficiently during their reassessment process, giving you comparing properties that you can have the information to do your homework to do a proper appeal? They keep wanting to deflect the facts here, saying, well, you know, reassessments and challenging reassessments isn't about the tax amount. It's about the fair value for your property. Yeah, okay. Then why are you so focused on hiding what our tax estimates are then? We understand the process, homeowners more than anything. But give us all the information that you have at this time. And believe me, they have it and they're seeing it. And for some reason, they don't want us to have it at this point. You have to ask yourself why. Again, because all along, their justification is we need to modernize this. It's been 50 plus years since a reassessment. One third's going to go up. One third's going to stay the same. One third's going to go down. And it's all going to even out. Well, that's the case now. That should be the case after any appeals done as well. Because the whole system will fluctuate, right? Even if some big property owners, like they say in the interview, win appeals and their property tax rate goes down, well, everything else shifts too, but that shouldn't shift everyone that much. That still should be the one-third, 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 right? So they see this information. They know it. They don't want us to have it. Other counties are giving it to their residents. Why? Other counties are going above and beyond and giving their residents comparison values so they can do it a proper appeal. They don't even want to give us that. So they're leaving you on your own to do your appeal and not giving you all the information that you could be given. And they're not giving us the estimates, again, which is just an estimate based on the information they have now. And everyone in Lackawanna County has to ask themselves why. I'll answer it for you, because they don't want to give it to you. You have to ask why, again. It's 3:22 here at WILK. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. You can call or text at 570-883-0098. We got Joe from Berwick on House Bill 1313. Joe.
Yes, Rob. Well, it is about the House bill, but it's more a comment on why it is this stuff keeps coming up and who keeps bringing it up. And, you know, when I hear you announce this coming up again, and what people like AOC have as responses to the objections. You know, we're getting to a point in this country where if things keep going the way they are, we're going to have to apologize to dirt. And the reason why, you've heard the saying here, dumb as dirt, right?
Yeah.
Well, dirt's going to demand an apology, and we're going to have to start saying dumb as an elected Democrat. This is astounding that these people can actually reason the way they do. Even when, and here's another good example of it, and I know you're on top of this, the violence that just happened here in Minneapolis again. And these are the same people who give us, the George Floyd nonsense and the defund the police. And they don't even seem to get it. They completely miss what they've done to cause what's going on there.
Yeah, you definitely hit the nail on the head there. That was like the home of defund the police, and they just had one of the most violent weeks they've had in a long time because of the very system that they've set up there that they've allowed to flourish.
Yeah, so we were talking about you earlier. I don't know if you know, I mentioned on Sue Henry's show, and I said she was talking about why is the juvenile crime, and the violence gotten so out of control, and I mentioned the philosophies on authority that have taken hold, and she said, well, what about, she said, when the kids for cashing happened, she said that was because they said, oh, we're being too hard on too soft on kids, especially in schools, and they're getting away with murder. And that's how they justified the whole episode that brought about Kids for Cash. And I said, well, I said, it's not about necessarily these political sayings and these political philosophies. I said, Rob O'Donnell can testify to this. I said, what it really comes down to is the kind of leadership you have. When you have people in positions of authority who know what authority is for, who tell you what they will do when given authority, and they're willing to take responsibility for whether or not those ideas work, that's what gives you good policy. That's where it comes out in the wash. It's not necessarily about whether or not somebody says they're going to be hard or soft on crime. It has to do a lot more with their understanding of authority and what should be done with authority when you have it. So, you came up in a conversation on Sue Henry's show about that.
Yeah, well, she also brought up a great point that I also talk about here often, is when something like a Kids for Cash happens, or the narcotics sentencing that was done in the 80s and 90s, they go so far over, the pendulum swings so far the other way that things like fentanyl become tolerated, things like juvenile crime become tolerated, because they've lived these things in the past where, there were bad things that happened, and instead of recognize it and fixing it, they say, okay, we just can't touch these things. And it's become the third rail, juvenile justice and drugs, because of the hard-handed drug sentence. That, listen, you could talk about the hard-handed drug sentence came down, but I was there during the crack epidemic in New York City. I was there during those times. And a lot, that heavy-handed judicial process saved a hell of a lot of lives. And if that's the gauge we're looking at, then okay, yes, maybe it went too far in a lot of different cases, and that needs to be dissected and corrected, but it doesn't mean we don't do it anymore. And the same thing with Kids for Cash. I mean, we have more and more violent youths out there, juveniles all over the nation, and it needs to be dealt with. We cannot say, because there was a Kids for Cash issue, we have to be gentle and do this. No, we don't have to be gentle. We have to be smart. We have to be stern. And we have to make sure that violent kids are adjudicated properly, not with kid gloves because something that happened in the past.
Yeah, well, we're definitely on the same page there because we've seen it. But, I appreciate it, Rob. And, you have a great weekend, okay?
You too, Joe. You too, my friend.
Right.
It's 3:30 here at WILK. It's time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, almost 3:36, 78 degrees. I'm getting some news from the Washington Examiner, and I'm seeing the chatter about it on social media. I do have the judge's order in front of me, but it appears, based off this reporting from 1:54 today from the Washington Examiner, is the court has signaled a settlement for $30 million, Ashley Babbitt's wrongful death suit. This is going to be big news if this follows through. Justice signals settlement in $30 million, Ashley Babbitt said. So it's a $30 million suit. What the settlement is, we don't know. The latest indication, forgive me here as I'm trying to read as much as I can here. The parties have agreed to work in good faith to narrow and resolve issues in the case via a settlement. So no settlement has been reached, but they have agreed to come to an agreement in a settlement in what is now a $30 million wrongful death suit of Ashley Babbitt from the January 6th Capitol shooting. So we'll keep an eye on that to see where that leads. One of the other things I want to talk about locally is Aventura and Terrace View are closing. 111 residents are being relocated as their Medicaid provider agreements are being terminated. Basically, they're not meeting the criteria that Medicaid sets to care for seniors. So they are no longer funding them via Medicare and Medicaid services. And this is Aventura and Terrace View. No longer participate in the Medicare program due to the faculty's failure to meet Medicare's basic health and safety requirements. So that's coming from our area, and there's the letter there that explains that why. Now, there's a 30-day for patients to care may continue for 30 days for patients admitted on or before a certain date. But that's going to be put a strain on our area for open beds in other facilities, which I guess they'll be in the process of moving these 111 residents. I did see a press release also from the United States Attorney's Office, Eastern District of Pennsylvania, that said a Philadelphia man pleads guilty to defrauding the government of more than $1 million in SNAP and Medicaid benefits. Now, I haven't dove into this story as well because it just came out as I was coming into the studio here. But think about that. This administration is targeting fraud, waste, and abuse of the Medicaid, SNAP systems, and a whole lot of other systems. This is just one individual in Philadelphia. One individual. $1 million fraud. Guilty of defrauding the government, which means us, the taxpayer, of more than $1 million in SNAP and Medicaid benefits. One individual. Anyone who doesn't think we should be looking at fraud, waste, and mismanagement and seriously holding those accountable for it is out of their mind. We continue to hear stories like this, and we've all seen it. I've talked about it here on the air. I've seen it with my own family, to where doctors, knowing Medicare, Medicaid will pay for all sorts of tests and pay a good amount, a lot more than private insurance in a lot of cases. They'll send you for this test. We'll send you for that test. And why do they need this test? Why are you sending a 70-year-old woman for all these invasive tests in a lot of cases? Well, you know, I want to get the numbers to make sure we're – she's 70. Oh, okay, maybe we don't need them. Oh, okay, maybe we didn't need them. So – if you have an older person in your life, your parents, your grandparents, stay on top of that. You know, I know friends who, their parents, they'd go through their medical bills. And even though insurance paid, you know how they send, well, this is your portion of this, and it's really not your portion of it. As long as you paid your deductible, as long as you paid your copayment, you're fine. But they're going to send a bill anyway, even though they got it. And they're paying the bills. Paying bills they didn't have to pay. It's another thing that needs to be looked into. So I highly recommend that you stay on top of, and even for yourself. I mean, we've seen it in ours to where we've questioned, you know, we've received bills for something that originally was told, well, you may have not met your deductible, so we paid it and then found out, you know, no, it was just a copayment because it was a different visit. Or, you know, it's a well care visit and they label it as something else, so you're charged at a higher rate because most plans have, you know, a free one or two health care, regular care visits, well care visits, I think they call them. So you truly got to stay on top of all that, even for your own billing. So a lot of stuff going on with Medicaid, SNAP and such, and we need to get the proper information out there. It's funny how they keep saying that they're cutting these things, but yet there's nothing in writing for cutting anything. But yet they've spent a lot of money on commercials telling us that. It's 3:41 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 3:46. Love when it picks up right here, huh? Yeah. 78 degrees on this Friday, May 2nd, 2025. Working man or working woman out there, getting it done, ready for the weekend. Hopefully the weekend's yours. And we had a little request for that. It's funny, because I was getting some lunch yesterday at Sabatelli's in Pittston, and Jason was like, man, I wish I would have seen Rush. A great band. We were talking about it a little bit. So lots of fans around the area. Well, it is my favorite band. And listen, I'm one who likes a lot of... Sue Henry makes fun of me because I like a whole different spectrum of music. And she was talking about jazz one day, and she made a comment on the air about it, as long as you don't like Spyro Gyra. And I came in the studio. I was like, hey, I like Spyro Gyra. I got a bunch of their albums at home, their CDs. As a drummer, as a musician, it was very intricate, a jazz fusion type work. It was fun to play drums too. So that's how I became a fan. And to this day, still pop them on every now and then. So, but I like a whole spectrum from Caribbean music to rock to jazz to big band jazz, which my dad was a drummer for and a big fan of, turned me on to that. But yeah, Rush is up there in the top two. So Big Lots. Big Lots, there was a lot of back and forth. Were they closing? Were they going bankrupt? What was happening? They were out of business signs up near the one by me. Well, they're reopening stores in Einan and Dunmore, and one of them is the one up by me. Up the Einan, yep. So they are quietly reopened yesterday. The discount retail chain opened 54 locations across multiple states on Thursday, with more stores set to open in 2 weeks on May 15th. According to Big Lots' website, Big Lots Incorporated filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in September. They subsequently closed its stores throughout the country, shuttering them in mid-March. Its locations at Scranton-Carbondale Highway and Archibald's Einan section and O'Neill Highway in Dunmore. However, those local closures were only temporary under new ownership. So if you shop at Big Lots, if you are frequent, we pop in every now and then. We pop in every now and then when I go to the Tractor Supply that's right over there just to see what they have. Every now and then they have something good. So if you're a fan of Big Lots, it looks like that the two in our area, Einan and Dunmore, will be opening up, and they will be opening a bunch more in just a few weeks, 2 weeks to be exact. So hopefully some more in our area, but those are the two. A variety of wholesalers announced it would be reopening 132 stores across 14 states this month in two phases, May 1st and May 15th. So 132 altogether will be opening up. We're excited to bring an additional 132 Big Lots locations back to life in May. Variety Wholesalers President, CEO, said in a press release, customer response to the newly expanded assortment of fresh inventory and great deals has been overwhelmingly positive. So maybe they have some different stuff. Check them out. It's worth taking a look, right? Especially, you know, everyone's talking about prices and what you can get and what you can't get and all the scare tactics with tariffs. The tariffs are coming. The tariffs are coming. Run! The tariffs are coming. Go to Big Lots. Maybe you get a deal, right? Get you through the tariff nightmare. But it's Friday. Give us a break. Come on, right? Einan and Dunmore were two of 13 stores throughout Pennsylvania and the only two in Northeast Pennsylvania featured on a list opening this month. Through the press release, did not specify where they would open Thursday or 2 weeks later. It's 3:50, time for the Bloomberg Money Minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio.
Okay, it needs to be
There is a... Sorry about that. I'm just looking at a... There's a video that has surfaced of Senator John Fetterman on an airplane. He's sitting in the front row and he's having a discussion with the... airplane crew about a seatbelt, saying, you know, they asked him if his seatbelt was on. He said, yeah, my seatbelt was on. He says, well, it needs to be visible so we could see it, so we don't have to ask. And there's a back and forth going on. There's also a hit piece out on John Fetterman about when he had his issue and checked himself into Walter Reed. It was a lot worse than a lot of us were brought out to. Listen, I'm not a fan, and I'm the last person to defend John Fetterman, but a lot of this is coming out now. And if you pay attention to who it's coming from and which avenues it's coming from, this all of a sudden attack on John Fetterman, this video of him on a plane that shows nothing about him but him having a discussion with an airplane crew. There is an issue with how he comprehends speech. That's why he uses an iPad or such like that, which I would imagine would be stowed away at this point. And somebody took a video of it, and it appears this person is in the D.C. progressive left media crew. And the stories where they were coming, where they're coming from on John Fetterman, how he was a lot worse and than we were led to believe when he checked himself into Walter Reed, something about wandering around in traffic and such like that. You have to understand where these are coming from. And again, take it from me, someone you do not expect or would not defend John Fetterman, but this is just wrong. This is solely, in my opinion, and from a lot of experts' opinion, coming from his support for Israel, to where just last week he told the president to strike Iran and bomb their nuclear facilities. His support for Israel, his anti-Hamas agenda that he's had, or stance that he's had, that has drawn a lot of attacks from his progressive wing, from the left side of his own party, from other elected officials with him. This is where this is coming from. This is where this attack is stemming from. This is why there's this underhand. It just goes to show you that they don't care if you're – he votes 98, 99% with the Democrats. They don't care. You don't stand with them 100% of the time. You're not going to be as radical as they are. They're going to cut you. And if they're not going to do it directly, they're going to do it through their channels. And that's what you see going on here, in my opinion. I've been looking through this most of the day, and now this video came out with him on an airplane having this discussion. It's not impolite. It just seems like there was a communication issue where he had his seatbelt on, and he's like, hey, I had my seatbelt. I don't know what you're trying to say type thing. But if you look at and you dig into where these attacks are coming from on John Fetterman, Senator Fetterman, I believe, and a lot of people in the know believe, that this is purely because he's not siding with them on the Israel-Hamas or Israel-Palestine issue that's out there. So you might see some of that out there. There are some articles that popped up. Again, the articles are more official, and they're like, well, we were led to believe it was a lot worse when he checked himself into Walter Reed. And it's your typical D.C. hit piece. In my opinion, you know, if there's an issue with him, if his family thinks that there's something wrong, well, then deal with it that way, like he did the first time. I think there's a good chance he may not even run for re-election when he's up for re-election. I think he will be primaried by a Democrat when he runs for re-election, as well as challenged by a Republican. So his status and if he stays or goes in the Senate means one way or another doesn't matter to me. I think, you know, time will tell. I think his own party is going to run someone against him. I think Republicans should be looking now for someone that they could put up against him that would win Pennsylvania. But either way, I mean, you have to call this for what it is when his own party, his own media side is starting to attack him with these hit pieces. And that's exactly what they are. So I'll call it for what it is. And, you know, for a lot of people who say, well, let them eat each other, Rob. Sit this one out and let them do it. No, you have to call this for what it is. If you agree with him or you don't, and I don't agree with him again, probably 98% of the time. He has said some things in the past couple of months that have surprised everyone. And I think a lot of that has surprised his own party even more. And that's why we're seeing these hit pieces come out now all of a sudden the past 24 hours. And again, one of them, the more mainstream one, is that he was a lot worse off than we were led to believe when he checked himself into Walter Reed. I saw reports that he was wandering around, had to be pulled out of traffic, was wandering around. So we'll see what happens as this goes on. But look into it for what it is. One of the other things before we have the top of the hour is there's a new law in Pennsylvania that will require high school students to complete a financial literacy course before graduation. I love this. Some schools are starting this even before the law takes place. Some local school districts have already preparing to implement these crucial life skills ahead of schedule. But in Pennsylvania, it will be required for Pennsylvania high school students to complete a financial literacy course before graduation. Outstanding. Something that's done right. Something that should be standard practice and should have always been standard practice. I mean, when I was in high school, we had basic economics course. When I was in middle school, they taught us how to balance checkbooks and hold an account. High school, my high school economics teacher gave us stocks. Literally gave us stocks. And we ran them through the whole course and monitored them, how they went up and down, if we had to meet margin call and such like that. And that was, you know, we're talking in the early 80s. Should be doing the same now.